chain breaker. Thank you, Nathaniel, for being on the spot for all of us this morning. Psalm 16 in the Word of God. Psalm 16. Go there with me if you would. Tomorrow. Now look at verse number 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Here's what I want to look at, verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the Bible. Use it as you have time and time again. We love you. For anyone that doesn't know you, might today that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I shall not be moved. That's the theme for us here at Crossroads Baptist Church. I hope you're making it more than a theme you just say on Sundays and Wednesdays, but one you live every single day. That I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shifted. I'm not going to be knocked off my place. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to put up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to back up. Why? Listen to me. If it was ever right, it's still right. And I stand on his word. I stand on his principles. Listen, there are a whole lot of people that don't want to be moved. There are a whole lot of people that didn't want to be moved. There are a whole lot of people that said they would not be moved. There are a whole lot of people that are saying, I shall not be moved. And everyone in that list that I just mentioned has been moved. I'm simply saying that just because you intend to doesn't mean you will. Nobody that ever had a desire for God sets out to fall, sets out to fail, sets out to falter. Let me tell you something. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. A just man riseth 7 times and then falleth 7 times and getteth back up again. What makes him just is not that he falls. What makes him just is that he gets up again. You're going to fall, but let me tell you something. Just because you're going to fall doesn't mean you have to continue falling. Listen what Jesus said to Peter. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Look what Peter said to us. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, can I just say I'm not going to fall? I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to falter. Listen, there are people sitting in the room this morning. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you once were. You're not where you once told others to be. It doesn't happen on purpose, but it does happen. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, if you get God where he's supposed to be, you'll be where you're supposed to be. You can say it and mean it. We're not to belittle people that fall, because it could be us. And David was quick to point out somebody else that messed up and miss himself messing up. How in the world can I get to the point that I say, I shall not be moved? The desire for preparation, preserve me, oh God. How many of you have been to the point where you said, God, you got to preserve me? I can't make it on my own. I can't survive on my good deeds. I can't make it on my intellect. I can't keep on thriving on my gene pool. I can't make it because of how long I've been saved or what church I'm in or how talented I am or how many years I've served. Listen to me. You can serve God for 30 years and fall in the 31st year. Okay, you can be in church all your life. You can teach people and train people and pastor people and fall. You don't live for God because you've been doing it for a long time. You live for God because you get up every day and decide to do it every day. The desire for preparation, then my duty to other people. He says, because I'm asking God to preserve me, here's how I treat other people. My goodness extended not to the Lord, to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth. Listen to me. The more God keeps me right, the more I ought to be doing right to other people. How good are you to people? We're living in a day and age where sometimes the meanest, nastiest, ugliest people are Christian folk. I'm still preaching. God help us. You ought to be the nicest person in your neighborhood if you're saved. You ought to be the kindest person on your job. He says, my action of service to the saints, my attitude to the saints, my approach towards sinfulness. By the way, the more I value saints, the less I will value sin. Let me say that again. The higher I value the saints, the lower I will value sin. Shame on Christian people that give value to sin. Sin is still sin. Even if it's legal, it's sin. Even if it's popular, it's sin. Even if it's common, it's sin. Even if everybody's doing it, it's sin. Even if people that are somebody are doing it, it's still sin. Even if it's easy to access, it's sin. Come on now. Even if it's redefined, it's sin. Even if it's categorized under an alias, it's sin. Even if America says it's okay, it's sin. We got to call sin, sin, and approach it the right way, aware of the consequences of sin, avoiding the company of the sinful, refusing to participate, rejecting the promotion of sin. He says, I'll not take up their names into my lips. I ain't going to be a person broadcasting foolishness all the time. I'm not going to be talking about it. I'm not going to be espousing it. I'm not going to be advocating it. I'm not going to keep bringing it up. And by the way, there's enough good stuff God is doing in your life and other people's life than to spend all week long talking about bad. By the way, sometimes you got to turn the news off and start talking about the good news. Amen. Because the news is discouraging. And I'm not saying we ought to be oblivious to it. We need to know what's going on. Every once in a while I go preach at a church and they put me in a prophet's chamber. You heard me talk about it. Looks like the original one Elijah stayed in, right? A bed, a table, and a candlestick. I mean, nothing in there. And I think to myself, what am I going to do for 3 days? And if I'm there for one night, I think, thank God I'm only preaching here one night. I think at least give me a TV with the news. You say, well, you hooked on, I'm not hooked on the news, but if they're going to bomb here, I want to know where to move. Amen. So I think you ought to be aware of what's going on. Some Christians are so spiritual, I don't need to know none, no news. Listen to me. You ought to be informed to pray for your leaders. You ought to know what's going on in the world. You ought to be informed of what's going on. But shame on us if we're more on CNN than we are on capital G-O-D. Amen. And shame on us when some of these commentators are more qualified and credible to us than those that wrote the precious word of God. If we're not careful, we'll buy into all of the drudgery of wickedness and depression and discouragement, and they got this law and this is coming out. The world's going so bad and people are doing this. And say, hey, David said, I ain't going to even put that all in my lips. Every once in a while, I need to talk more about God. Amen. He said, let it ever be in my lips, the right stuff, but I'm not going to say the wrong stuff. Why? I have a duty to other people. Last week, we looked at his declaration of his portion. Say it with me, verse number 5. The Lord is the portion. Say it again. The Lord is the portion. Say it again. The Lord is the portion. Listen, that means he's it. He's all I need. He's my portion. The reference here is to land that was divided and given to the people of God. You remember the Levites? They didn't have land because God was their portion. They didn't need a certain amount of land. Their service was to serve God. In other words, God said, you don't need land when you got me. Hey, listen to me, child of God. Listen to me. As long as you got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. Ain't that what the songwriter said? I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, buked at, scorned, some, sure as you're born. Up, down, almost to the ground, but as long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long as I got him, don't need nobody else. Well, you say, Pastor, I need a whole lot of other people. Well, maybe you don't have Jesus where he should be. He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Listen to me. If you don't have some 401k sitting beside you, if you don't have something that's going to be left to you, if you don't have something that somebody's going to give you in years to come, you can still have joy because the Lord is the portion of your inheritance. He's what you've been given. He's what's been set aside. He has been what has been allocated on you. Remember, the land was divided and apportioned accordingly based on tribe, the size of their tribe. They got what they needed based on the size of the... Hey, listen to me. Here's what David said. Thou maintainest my lot. Here's what he's saying. You know what I need. Aren't you glad he knows what you need? my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad he knows what you need? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted at all points, yet without sin. Wherefore is able to help those that have been tempted? Let us boldly go before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't just know what you're going through? He knows how you feel. That's what Hebrews said. He's touched with the feeling. When you're crying, he cried before. When you're weak, he was weak before. When you're hungry, somebody say amen. He was hungry before. He knows how you feel. He is the portion. He's our present possession. He's my pleasant provision. I have a goodly heritage. Hey, listen. My heritage represents those of the generation past. Hey, watch this now. Here's what he's saying. I got good genes if I'm a child of God. Spelled with a G, not with a J. Somebody say amen. Hey, listen. I got a good family tree. Hey, listen to me. Aren't you glad that even though when you were born into this world, you were separate from God, a foreigner from God, distant from God? Aren't you glad when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons? By the way, study adoption when you study it every once in a while. And the law will tell you that you can write your blood children out of your will, but you cannot write your adopted children out of your will. Hey, listen to me. Aren't you glad that when Jesus adopted you, when God adopted you into the family of God based on the work of Jesus, listen to me, nothing you do will ever write you out of God's will. Wow. I've got a goodly heritage. Look this morning very quickly at verse number 12. It's verse number 7. I don't know how I'm going to say verse number 12. It ain't even 12 verses in the whole chapter. I will bless the Lord. Now, he's got a present possession. Everybody say present possession. He has a pleasant provision. Everybody say pleasant provision. Now, watch this. Therefore, he's going to have a praising profession. Everybody say praising profession. Hey, listen. Here's what you're going to have to decide. Because he's my portion, because I got a good heritage, I'm going to bless the Lord. Let me say that again. I'm going to bless the Lord. Hey, we need some Christians in 22 that say, what is it? 2022. We just say 22. 2022. Thank you. You're working right with me, Sister Wanda. We need some Christians in 2022 that say, no matter what, I'll bless the Lord. Now, somebody in the building is thinking, well, I don't have that much money. He's still your portion. Well, I didn't get a good report for the doctor. He's still your portion. Well, I got some friends that abandoned me. He's still your portion. I got some trials I'm going through. He's still your portion. I got some aches in my body. Me too. He's still my portion. I will bless the Lord. He said, I will bless the Lord. Let's say it together. I will bless. Say it again. I will bless the Lord. Now, nowadays, you run into people, say, how you doing? I'm blessed. How you doing? I'm blessed. Now, you're not judgmental. But some people, the way they live, need to quit saying that. Now, we all been blessed, but some stuff folks doing, God ain't blessing. He ain't going to bless your sin. He's not going to bless your foolishness. He's not going to bless your profanity. He's not going to bless your idolatry. He's not going to bless your immorality. He's not going to bless homosexuality. He's not going to bless abortion. None of that. God's not going to bless that. Yes, I said it. He's not going to bless it. You know why? Because it doesn't line up with the book. Here's what David said. I'm not just going to be blessed. I'm going to be a blessing. Amen. Guess what? To the Lord. Amen. Now here's what I'm going to ask you this morning. Did your life bless the Lord today? Well, you know, Pastor, I saw someone on the side of the road, homeless, and I rolled down the window, and I put out, well, listen to me. We appreciate that. But I'm asking you, Do you bless the Lord? Hey, listen. When you come to church, you're not just coming to church to watch the singers bless the Lord. You're supposed to come to church to bless the Lord yourself. And every once in a while, you ought to lift up your hand and bless the Lord. You ought to lift up your voice and bless the Lord. You ought to clap your hand and bless the Lord. Amen. You ought to just grunt and bless the Lord. Everybody say, bless the Lord. I found out that some people say I'm not the blessy type. You know what I found out? Everybody's the blessy type if you get them around the thing they like to bless. Preach, Pastor. I'm not really vocal. Yes, you are. Sometime in your life, you're vocal. In the shopping mall, in the restaurant, in the sports arena. Let them knock on your door and tell you you just run Publishers Clearing House $1 million. And I dare you to say, I'm not vocal. You listen to me. You'll learn to be vocal if you win $1 million. Could I ask you a question? Is $1 million better than the fact he snatched you out of hell? Is $1 million better than the fact he redeemed your soul? Is $1 million better than the fact that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? That your soul has been sealed, that you indwelt with the Holy Ghost of God, that the Holy Spirit gives you illumination to understand the word, that heaven is your home, that Jesus is building a mansion for you, that you're going to live with him forever. Come on now, bless the Lord. Now, why are you going to bless him, David? Three things, and then you can go home and tune in tonight. Amen. 6 o'clock. Don't tune in at 9 and go back and watch it. Tune in at 6. Church is at 6. You can't be putting church when you want to put it. You have church when we're having it. Amen. And sit down somewhere during church. Moving all around and cooking and cleaning and all. Be still and know that it is church. Amen. That's the KBV, Kenny Baldwin version. Amen. Listen, we ought to be able to give God 20, 25 minutes of undivided attention. Okay? If you keep wondering why you can't remember what happened in the service, you might have been doing too much during the service. That was free. Now, here are three reasons why his praising profession took place. Look at verse number 7. Who hath given me counsel? I want you to write these three things down, then we'll talk about them. Everybody say, the counsel he got, the conscience that guides, the credit that was God's. Let me say it one more time. The counsel he got, the conscience that guides, and the credit that was God's. Now, here's what David said. I'll bless the Lord. Here's why he's saying I'm going to bless the Lord. Who hath given me counsel? Here's what David said. I'm going to praise God because when I didn't have a clue, God filled me in. Now, we're living in a crazy world. And we walk up on decisions with a multitude of choices. Aren't you glad we have a God who counsels us? Parenting requires counsel. Marriage. Wednesday? It was Wednesday? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Y'all, 4 days. Y'all already need counsel. Aren't you glad that at 3 a.m, when you can't get a hold of a professional counselor, you can get a hold of God? David said, I bless you. Who giveth me counsel. Then notice the second part of the verse. My reins always also instruct me in the night season. Now, reins represented the seat of his emotion. It was a picture of his conscience, the depth of who he was. Notice what he said. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Remember the first part of the verse? God counsels me. You know what I learned something about God? If you hang around God long enough and you let him counsel you long enough, it won't be long before your conscience will start thinking like your counselor does. Somebody help me preach. You shouldn't spend your whole Christian life asking God the same questions. What he taught you a year ago, you ought to be living now. And if you live what you got taught a year ago, he may let you learn something new now. Why should God give us something new when we're not living what we already learned? He says, God, your counsel has led me, but now my reins instruct me in the night. See, aren't you glad that sometimes you come up on some tough decisions in life, and there's no specific verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not take that job. Thou shalt not go that place. Thou shalt not date that person. Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. You come up on, I mean, you look in your Bible and you say, I wish I could find somewhere in the Bible. I was getting ready to do the wedding yesterday, and Derek was telling me, he said, I spent time all last night flipping through the scripture to find out what does the pastor say at a wedding ceremony. He said, I kept looking in the Bible. I said, Derek, that phrase, the stuff we say at a wedding ceremony, that's not all in it. We put some Bible in there. He said, no wonder I couldn't find it. And listen, every once in a while you run on some decisions and you go, should I go? Is this the right kind of friend? Should I be involved in that? Is that the right choice? And you say, God, I wish you gave me a verse on every decision. No, you wouldn't. You hadn't even read all of this. Some people in here have not read Genesis to Revelation. Could you imagine how big the Bible would be if God wrote out a verse for every single decision? But you know what he has given us? Biblical principles. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. And if you'll walk with God every day, there'll be some times you are in the night seasons. I'm talking about some time when you can't get a hold of your pastor. Very rare. But there are some times. I like to try to be accessible. But aren't you glad when you can't get your pastor, you can get your God? My reins instruct me. I worry about some Christians who've been saved for so long and keep making trivial mistakes. In my thought, in my mind, I go, what's wrong with your reins? What's teaching you? See, we say, don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Is anybody listening? Don't ever come to church and say, I don't need that message because I'm not going through it right now. Listen to me. Whatever God is teaching you in the light, you're going to need in the night. So even if I'm telling you something you ain't going through right now, you better stick it in the queue. Come on now. You better store it in the bank. Because when the lights go out, you can't find the flashlight then. Come on now, when the lights go, you better practice walking in your house with the lights on so when the lights go out, you know where everything is. Somebody help me preach. You better praise God while you have money in the bank so you know how to trust him when you're broke. You better come to church when you feel good so you know how to lean on him when you don't. You better walk with God when you got a crowd so you know how to keep walking when all of them drop. I'm saying you better honor God when the lights are on so you honor God when the lights go. See, if you haven't learned it in the light, you can't sustain it in the night. So all those times, God, you were counseling me. You were proctoring my reins. You were preparing me for the future. The credit that was God. God deserved all the credit. If you're a good Christian, you better give God the praise. Amen. You better give God the praise. COVID is not destroying people and churches. It's exposing them. You see, when the lights go out, we find out what you made of. Thou hast counseled me, God. And now my reins are instructing me. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. See, if you can, listen, you are only as good of a Christian as you are at your weakest point. You ever did something real good in practice, and when it came time to perform, it wasn't as good? Them nerves are different when the crowd shows up. Everybody that in here that's ever sung a song, isn't it funny how you can hit all the notes in practice? The high notes. You get up there in front of the people. You squeak and squeal when you perform it like you couldn't do if you tried in practice. Years ago, I used to say, practice makes perfect, practice makes perfect, practice makes perfect. And then we got into the choir with Pastor Mike, and he taught us, practice doesn't make perfect, practice makes permanent. Huh? You ain't gonna never be perfect. But if you do it long, at least it'll be permanent. And we got to learn how to practice getting counsel from God so that when the night season comes, our reins instruct us. Amen. Raise your hand if you're going through some kind of night season right now. Come on. Be honest. Raise your other hand if it ain't fun. Okay. And by the way, you're going to have a whole bunch of people around you counseling you. Did you hear that? I said you're going to have, let me even add to it. You're going to have unsolicited counselors advising you. Do you know, I don't go to a church to speak about ever anymore. And I started going back out traveling last June. I don't think I've been to one church where someone has not presented me with exactly what's going to heal me. I mean, papers, machines, stuff to put behind your ear, rub on you. I mean, they've given my wife, but as if I'm sitting at home every day just trying to be feel bad on purpose. And don't have no doctors. I was preaching somewhere recently. I said, I just want to inform you of something. In Northern Virginia, near our nation's capital, I want y'all to know we actually have doctors. And pharmacies. Yeah. Hey, listen. Some point in time in your life, you're going to have to get with God and his word and stop asking everybody for counsel. And if you do ask people for counsel, here's my qualification for wanting people to counsel me. They got to know God and they got to know me. Pretty simple. You say, what if they just know God? You know what I found out? There's some people that know God that don't know you, and they will take something that they put on somebody else and try to put it on you, and it don't fit. Well, the last person said in here, this is what I told them to do, you go do it. See, that's why they got to know God. And know. Don't be going to ask anybody to speak counsel into you. Get somebody that knows God and knows you and won't just give you something they got out of a fortune cookie, but they give you something that they got out of God's word while knowing who you are. And if you'll get around good counsel long enough, it won't be long before you will be able to counsel yourself. My reins instruct me in the night season. So what does that mean, David? I'll tell you what it means. I will bless the Lord. There's a whole lot of people moving. I'll tell you what I've noticed. Not very many praising people move. All right? Now, a whole lot of people doing some shouting ain't real praising. Okay, you can't praise unless you know what you're praising. But if you're really lifting God up, you won't be moved, because nobody in your life will be more important than the God that you're praising. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we bless your name. Help us. Help us, Lord, to not get caught up in what everybody is doing, that we miss what you're saying. Help us, Lord, to bless the Lord at all times. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. Put your hands down. How many say, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but God spoke to me today about blessing him, about the counsel he gives me, about the credit he deserves, about the conscience that guides me. And I want to get to the point that I listen to God long enough, that I've learned enough to talk sense to myself. Please pray for me. That's your prayer all over the room. Would you raise your hand? I got some decisions to make, Pastor. I need guidance. Put your hands down. One more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand up? Anybody in the room? I just want to pray for you. I'll not embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? If you're in the building today and you're saved and going to heaven, but you'd like information about joining the church or scriptural baptism or how to be more involved, see one of our ushers. They'll point to one of our deacons or their wives. We'd love to talk with you about it. Let's make sure that we're grounded in the right place, serving the Lord. Father, would you bless every hand, every heart represented today? Help us to magnify the Lord, not miss what you're doing. We so appreciate your goodness and grace in our lives and for helping us be who we need to be. God, help us to hear your counsel, please, Lord. Cement the word in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're glad you came to church today, let's give God the praise.